When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And thought I was going to get this one done on Saturday, but I'm recording it in the early afternoon on Sunday instead. Still going to get two a week, I promise. I'm not going to let you guys down. But what am I thinking about today? My brother came over Saturday afternoon and evening, and we got to talking, as usual, about art and about the future of art and commerce and being an independent creator and some of the things that all of the different things that come with the package, all of the different struggles that come with the package. And we got talking about the whole notion of working in obscurity and waiting for the right people to find you, and the sort of the pitfalls that come with doing independent work and feeling like you need to promote it, feeling like you need to get the word out about your stuff to find your audience, and versus the sort of the unnatural, phony feelings that come with doing that too. I think we all struggle with this from time to time. On the one hand, you know, a lot of business advice that gets thrown around is you got to get the word out, you got to advertise, you got to promote yourself, and to some extent, I agree with that. But there's also the satisfaction of people finding you naturally and organically, and falling in love with your work without you having to push it down their throats. I think those are the most rewarding experiences that we look forward to as independent creators. At least speaking for myself, that those are the times when I find get the most satisfaction out of meeting somebody who has been, I don't know, I don't want to say electrified, but at least become interested in my work, whatever work it is. And the analogy that it makes me think of, the time it makes me think of in my life, was when I was, again, I think all of my prominent memories come from my early childhood. For some reason, I don't have many anecdotes from my teen or post-teen years to back up any kind of like really powerful learning experiences for me. I don't know why that is. I wonder what that says about me. And I bet there's some psychology or sociology majors out there who can make some kind of crazy analysis about me as a person. But we'll table that for another time. But I think about when I was in elementary school, and I was a kid with, like a lot of you, I'm sure, a kid with a very active imagination. And such an active imagination, in fact, that I could be perfectly content to just silently be lost in my own little world, not interacting with anybody necessarily. Of course, like any kid, I wanted interaction. I wanted friends, and I had friends. I don't want to turn this into like a pity Jersey. He was always a nerd, and everybody pushed him around. No, I had friends. Surprise. But when we would have recess, you know, where you let the kids go outside and work off a little bit of that energy, I would stand against the wall and think of my characters and stories, think about stories that I enjoyed, think about the Transformers, think about Silver and the Periodic Forces. I would just be imagining things. And it would be such a powerful experience that I would not have to even necessarily move around a whole lot. I would just lean up against the wall of the school and just think about stuff like that. Again, I don't want to promote this as somehow I was always a hyper-intellectual child, because no, I was thinking about things blowing up. You know, I was still a 10-year-old kid, and what did I like? I liked, you know, giant robots knocking down buildings and stuff. I wasn't sitting around thinking about Nietzsche or anything like that. But as it happened, and I think this is the case at a lot of schools, if you got in trouble on the playground, they would make you stand against the wall and watch the other kids play. And I remember there one day, some kids noticed that I spent a lot of my time standing against the wall. And so they came up to ask me, well, what did you do? Did you get in trouble? I said, what? No, not at all. I'm just sitting here thinking. And the kids felt immediately sorry for me. And they all started offering to play. You know, oh, we'll play with you. You want to play kickball? You want to play football? You want to play? We'll play whatever. We'll play with you. And it was really sweet, because the kids, you know, they genuinely seemed to care that I was quote unquote upset. But no, I wasn't upset at all. And what's more is it felt kind of awful to have all these kids feel sorry for me and give me attention because they thought I was sad, not because they, you know, they didn't come up to me because, like, oh, you're a dynamic person. We want to play with you. No, they're just like, oh, look at poor Jerz over there. He's all by himself. Let's be nice. It's nice, but it's not nice in a way. You know what I mean? Because I want, even then, I couldn't put the words to it as a child, but I wanted them to want to play with me because of my value as a playmate, not because I was the sad kid on the very special episode of Different Strokes. I think also of that old joke that people like to tell of when you get in a fight with your spouse or your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, and she says, well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. Now, it's an old, dumb joke, and I don't want to use this as any kind of statement about marriage because I don't think that that kind of generalization necessarily holds true. But I think about that joke, and what does it mean? When the female character in that situation says, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you, why is she saying that? It's not to torture you. It's because she's saying that I want you to understand where I'm coming from intuitively. And if I have to spell it out, then you're going to be reacting to what's making me upset because you feel obliged to, and not because you're operating out of a sense of shared, shared mission, shared compassion, shared, agenda or anything like that. You're not paying attention to me in the right way. If you had been, then you would have already reacted to this thing. I mean, those of us who have had that fight, or those of us who have seen this kind of fight played out on an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show, know essentially what I'm talking about here. And I think that both of these stories are analogous to operating in obscurity and creating work that people aren't necessarily paying attention to. And the less than satisfying feeling of doing a big marketing push to get people to pay attention to it and getting people talking about you, I guess this kind of ties into something I was talking about in the episode of Thunder Punch Daily about politics. Is this is one of those reasons that politics is a little distasteful to me, because it's sort of that artificial way of creating community, when the best situation is when you just get people who just find you either through word of mouth or just through a general search online, and they fall in love with what you're doing, and then you start a dialogue with them that way. So what's the point of this discussion or this essay? I thought it'd be worth highlighting as a reminder to me and a reminder to those of you who are struggling with this obscurity thing. What's the point? If you don't feel comfortable doing like a big marketing push and promoting yourself a whole lot, I think there's different ways to promote yourself, and maybe that'll be a discussion for another time. But what do you have to hold on to in the meantime? Well, this is going to sound like dad advice, but I think that like a lot of dad advice, it holds true, and it just feels kind of corny and uncomfortable to say it, is the satisfaction of doing good work is in itself, should be enough to keep you going. Even if nobody or not many people are looking at it, you felt compelled to put lines on paper in the first place. You know, are you doing this for applause? Are you doing this for a big thank you? Or are you doing this because it's the right thing to do? To quote that Thundercats episode again that I talked about in an early Thunder Punch Daily. Man, I'm just going to keep repeating myself on these, it sounds like, huh? I promise I'm going to find new material in future episodes. But the satisfaction of the work should be enough to keep you going. And if you find yourself feeling a little frustrated because where's my traffic? Where's my audience? Where's my kudos, to quote Mr. Burns? Is that what you're doing it for? I mean, why did you put lines on paper in the first place? Because you like doing it. And I think that's something we need to remind ourselves of. And I think that that's where an occasional going back and looking at your archives, looking at your past pages, opening up that drawer where you keep all those old pages, and looking at your progression becomes a very healthy psychological exercise to remind yourself where you've been, where you're going, and why you're doing it at all. And I do believe that one of the inherent powers of the current publishing age that we live in is that discoverability has never been easier. And yeah, there's a lot of people online pushing a bunch of crap. But I think people are pretty sophisticated and intelligent for the most part. And I think that most people can see through when something is crappy or half-hearted or unintentional or insincere. And if you have your sincerity and if you're pouring your guts into what you're doing, people pick up on that. I think most artists would agree with me. There's an intangible quality of somebody who's really pouring their guts into something, even if the quality isn't that great. If their heart is in it, if they're giving it their level best, that comes through. And I think that's something to remind ourselves of. Is so you may be that kid standing up against the wall by yourself, but if you're completely at ease about the work and having fun with the work, eventually people are going to come up and start talking with you about for the right reasons and not just because they see this poor guy standing all alone. So there's that. There's also the notion that to talk about dating a little bit, and I may have talked about this in some past art and stories, is that, you know, in there's that old pat advice that, you know, the reason you're not meeting the right person is because you're sitting at home wondering where the right person is, and the right person is sitting at home wondering where the right person is, right? And but again, because the internet allows discoverability, I think just doing your thing and broadcasting it as best you can, broadcasting in terms of blogging it, posting it on LiveJournal, posting it on DeviantArt, posting it on Flickr, posting it on whatever different feeds that you can, you're bound to run into the right people who will discover it just by accident and say, where has this been all my life? And then, you know, you have to say, well, I've been here for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Where have you been? You know, but then at least you get a dialogue with the person who is on the same page as you. And, okay, so you got the pleasure of the work. You got the notion that people will discover you eventually if you just keep punching at it. But then there's the third aspect of doing the work over and over again means you're going to improve. And the improving means that your work is going to be better, which means that the more people who discover it are going to like what they see. And sitting around waiting for the perfect marketing strategy, the perfect way to get the news out, getting just the right Project Wonderful ad on the right site before you actually do the work, that's kind of a backwards way to go about it. Working in obscurity means that less people are going to see the crap beginnings of your work. I've got a lot of work that's crap, guys, and some might say that my current work is crap, but going back, you know, 10 years to some of my early published stuff, I was just talking with Kim Holm today, or not today, a couple days ago off mic, and he was talking about some Ninja High School stuff that I did, and I said, oh, Kim, that stuff's crap, and he said, yes, indeed, it is. But there weren't that many people reading it, so not that many people are familiar with my Ninja High School work, so I didn't have to be quite as concerned with my reputation being built upon that early work. Now my reputation is being built upon the work I'm doing now, which is considerably better, in my opinion, than the work I did 10 years ago. So working in obscurity also affords you that invisibility to really focus and get better. I still think it's worth sharing your early work. I really do. And I put my money where my mouth is. I posted the Black Hole Equation online on webcomicsnation.com. You can do a search for it there. That's work I did in 1995, and it is bad. I mean, there's moments in there where I look at it and go, oh, the kid was onto something there. But for the most part, I think it's pretty crummy looking. But I was just a kid. I was just starting out. So, but I think that stuff is worth sharing both to document your growth as a creator, but also to serve as a reassurance to other people who are just starting out that, okay, even, no matter how good somebody is, they all had to start someplace. Not everybody just jumps into this thing born to be an artist, at least not in my opinion. So there's three things to think about when you're struggling with this, where's my audience business? I get a little kind of bored with people who say, well, here's a way to search engine optimize your website, and these are the social networks you need to use. And I've you know, talked about this myself in past art and stories, that, you know, there's certain ways to more organically engage with potential readers, potential audiences, and whatnot. But that aside, how do you keep the motor running? How do you keep invested in this stuff? And ultimately, it comes down to the work. If you're not doing it for the work itself, first and foremost, even if you're not saying it every day, you know, if it's just sort of in the back of the brain, if it's in that the long-haired part of the art mullet, sort of as a daily reminder of why you do what you do, then what's the point of doing it? You know, I've never met somebody who does what they do to make other people happy first and foremost. I've never encountered their work and gone, that's really good. It may be expertly crafted, but I rarely say that is inspired, that is unique, that is something that really sets my mind ablaze. But the people who are really just doing it because they love doing it, and that love comes through in the work, no matter what the quality level is, it usually makes me get really excited. So I guess this was a daily affirmation kind of episode of Thunder Punch a Daily. Anyway, who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for your support of this project. We couldn't do this without you. I say that every time, but it's worth repeating because your financial support gives us the time to do these shows. We're almost at our goal of subscribers, and once we're at our goal, then we're actually getting essentially freelance pay to do these shows. And that means a lot to us because it's you saying that this content has value. As most of you know, the moment you actually have a reader, listener, constituency of any sort tell you that your work is worth throwing a few bucks on, that's an incredibly empowering feeling. And so just think about any experience you've had with a reader buying your work and how good that makes you feel. That's how it makes us feel when you guys support us on this. That's why I thank you guys every time. So, okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. I'm going to try to pick up the pace with these and do a few more this coming week to make up for the lag time this week. So I'll be back. I will be back soon with another one very soon. Soon, even. And until then, remember, everybody.
Well, Orko, Jeremy sure changed his ways.
Yeah, he was acting pretty rotten for a while. I think all he really wanted was for people to notice him. But what good does it do to be noticed if people don't like what they see?
That's right. The best way to get attention is not to look for it. By being polite and helpful, people will not only notice you, they'll like you too.
I'm going to do something helpful right now.
What's that?
I'm going to say goodbye!